This podcast is a proud member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network.
Check out more great shows at pride48.com.
I'm not recording. I'm on a different track than that. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
You're not using a combined track at that point, and I had already stopped recording here. So the file that I'm saying, for those of you, photos for the blind, Adam was giving me a very dirty look because I was talking over the outro.
Because I was thinking I was going to have to edit that out.
But I'm on a different track. Everything here is on a different track. And
I know, but I didn't know you had stopped your recording.
I had already stopped recording, so it will not matter. Adam.
If you're on YouTube right now, we are no longer going to be on YouTube
anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Goodbye, YouTube.
So if you want to be in the after show, you have to go to the Discord.
Yeah. We're not streaming on pride48.com?
Well, I mean, if you want to be in the chat.
Oh, yeah, if you want to be in chat, you can go to our website and click on chat and get there.
You can go to the website and click on the stream.
Yeah. You can do all those things.
Or, no, you can't.
I am
such a dumbass.
You can't do any of that. So sorry. You can't do any of it. Yes, you can.
That is so weird.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I could have sworn that when I first came up here and sat down, that I tried to start the stream, and I got an error. And I remembered that I had deleted the user that we use to connect to the stream, because the other day I was having a problem with something in the Azure Cast, which is what I use, the radio software. And I was having a problem editing. And so I thought, oh, I'll just delete it, because I wanted to add our show name so that when we're connected, it shows the show name. And I thought I deleted it. Yes.
Are we off YouTube?
We're not off YouTube yet. Anyway, so YouTube, bottom line is, yes, the stream is up. You can go to pride48.com, click on the play button, and you'll hear us. Goodbye.
I was just asking if Zoom, have you stopped the Zoom recording? That was all I wanted to know. That was it.
No,
I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to be a...
I thought you were asking about the YouTube stream.
No, I was, but then I also wanted that because let me tell you, it wasn't the same without the transcript this week. I had to do work. Like, I had to take the Craig recording.
But you have a tool that does that,
No, but it uses the time codes in the transcript that is guaranteed to start at certain, you know what I'm saying? Like, it triangulates how it needs to cut the file based off of the start time of the transcript and the start time of the recording, right? It's like, between here and here, there's no show. And then from here, I start listening for the words Friday night, and then that's the start of the show. And then the show ends when Adam specifically says, this show is a member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network.
Auntie Scott says
it doesn't matter. It shows up on your track when we transcript it. In the transcription, it shows up on your track. That's how it knows it's the end of the show. And then it knows that everything after that is the after show. And that's how it slices up the files for me every week. And this time I had to, like a peasant, I had to go and guess as to how long the show was. And I had to listen around to see, because you see the after show recording is being done here in Discord, and we just monolithically record everything. And then I have to separate it later. So
I was correct. We're not on the stream.
Okay, great. We're not on the stream.
So, I mean,
okay.
Everyone's listening to us, and so they can't go to pride48.com because we are indeed.
That's fine.
I wonder why it's telling me that it was.
So I sent you a thing last night.
Connected.
It doesn't matter. I sent you a thing last night, a text, I believe is what the kids call them, Adam, a text message.
No, you didn't.
I did. I said Disney cruise booked.
Oh, yeah. You did
radio silence.
Yesterday?
Nothing back from you. Not an emoji. We decided we're not interested in it anymore. But thanks. Or like, oh yeah, when was that? I need to look. none of that. Just ghosted. I said okay. Disney Cruise booked.
In my defense.
Yes.
Here, and has this ever happened to anyone in the chat room or never. To you, Daniel?
Never.
Do you ever get a text from someone and you're trying to think of how to respond? And yeah. So, because the text prompts you to think about something that maybe you hadn't
thought
about in a couple of weeks.
Right.
And so you're like, okay, what is my response going to be? Because we still need to talk about that.
Yeah.
I think there's a possibility we might do it, but I have more questions. Like, what are the dates? Because I don't know.
Hey, that would have been a good reply. That would have been a good reply.
So I was trying to think, what do I respond? Was kind of...
Yeah, when was that?
There was like the... And then I forgot. I completely forgot that the text existed, that you know...
Because you could have just said, whatever. Like, when was that? And then I would have said, oh, it was August 19th through the 26th. And then you would have said, oh, yeah, I need to talk to Mark about it. And that's it. And then it would have been
19th,
done.
19th.
Through the 26th.
Through the 26th.
Leaving out of British Columbia.
Vancouver?
Yes.
And it, what ship is it?
It is the Magic.
Okay. So I think he said he was okay with doing it. And I think we're going to do an interior cabin.
Yeah.
Because that's cheaper.
Yeah. and they have those cute little portholes where like animated characters like show up outside your portal at night. Like from Nemo, from Finding Nemo, like some of the characters from Finding Nemo. The Allison Janney character from Finding Nemo, the starfish, shows up outside your portal. That would be cool. We got the ocean view, you know, just the window, not the veranda. And it was, I want to say it was 5,000. So it was like 5,000. So I know the interiors were less than that. They were like 38 or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So yeah, we're looking at that.
By the way, that's per cabin, Lamont. That's per cabin, not per person. That's per
cabin. Do you know, speaking of vacations, let's say we're like at an 80% sure we're going to do it.
Yeah.
So who all is for sure signed up at this point? Who
is Rodan and Darwin.
Yeah.
Zach and Daniel. Taylor and Babalu. Taffy and Tank.
So they've already booked?
I believe so. They all gave me, they were going to link all those things up at some point.
Okay.
We're doing brunch with Rodan and Darwin on Monday, so we'll find out because it's a holiday, you know. We'll find out.
Yeah. I was able to use my. Oh, I'm so sad.
So sad about what?
My UV printer is messed up.
Aw.
And I don't know how to fix it. It's like three of the colors are not working. And I've done all of the cleaning processes that I can do.
And you can clean no more.
Tomorrow, I'm going to have to ask ChatGPT what are the other maintenance steps that I can take to try to fix this thing. And if I can't, the only other option is to either stop using it and throw that money away that I spent or buy a $600 printer head.
Oh, my God.
If I can't fix it.
That's horrible.
Because the only thing you can do is replace it if you can't fix it.
Yeah, I got no suggestions on what to spend my stipend on for my office. I bought a camera mount because right now my camera is, I'm using a tripod behind my monitor and it's kind of like, you know, takes up a lot of room back there. So I got a wall mount arm that comes out so that the camera can be where it's at. But you know, mounted from the wall so I can get rid of the tripod, and a lighting system,
a
key light and a thing. So
you could get some LED lights for behind you that change colors and stuff.
What I was thinking of doing was we were thinking about maybe swapping out the TV in the living room with a short throw projector because we have that huge wall.
Yeah.
So we could project a much bigger screen than what we have now. So we could project like 100 or 200 inch screen.
You could.
So, and then take that 4K that's in the living room, mount it here vertically and make it look like a window. And then I can send different scenery, you know, like have outside.
Fancy.
Outside things or have the logo or have, you know, so like random things that show up, you know, like at the window, like a bird or something.
My lights went out.
Oh, that's sad.
The lights that I had on beside the TV.
Yeah.
We had a power outage.
And they died.
And they started blinking just, and I can't get them to stop.
We lost a frame. We lost our digital picture frame from a power outage. Anyway, the Disney cruise, that was it. I booked my Disney cruise. There's no pressure. Well, if you guys don't want to go, that's cool. You guys go on a lot of trips. And this
want to.
This is very much.
I just want to clear it with him.
It is Zach and my 10th anniversary. So this is kind of our anniversary trip. So that's, we'll be doing that. Even though our anniversary is back in February, but we're going to do it. It's so weird because we got Zach's 40th birthday next year, got my 60th, and got our 10th anniversary. So,
well, you know, my birthday is the 17th. So that 19th will only be
two days
from my birthday.
Isn't that crazy? It'll be one day after our cat's birthday.
And we'd probably have to fly out there on my birthday.
Yeah. That'd ruin your whole birthday.
So that we're a day or two early.
Yeah, probably.
So we could have dinner or something for my birthday.
Probably.
Somewhere. Cake bake or...
Well, you wouldn't be flying here. You'd be flying... We're going up to Vancouver.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Duh. What am I thinking?
I mean, I don't think there's a cake bake in Vancouver, but we can absolutely eat dinner in Vancouver.
Then we won't be flying up on my birthday because we'll only get there a day early because there's no reason to go 2 days early if we're not... going to Florida.
Oh, okay.
Well, because we would be...
No, I get it. I totally get it.
With you.
Yeah, I know. I got it. We could all go 2 days early. That'd be great. Here's the thing. We can go do a real day at Bouchard Gardens. So tell me about these bumpers, Adam.
Well, I stole from you shamelessly.
Shamelessly.
Apparently is what I did. And I was like, you know what? I want to create some interstitials. And I understand we don't have to go through what you said again. We've already gone through it.
What did I say?
You said that it should be people, the people who do the shows should create bumpers.
Here's the thing.
They should send
when
them
I
to
created
us.
A fake radio station and I made, you know,
WLKE Central Florida's Lake Radio.
When I created those, that makes sense for there to be music behind it because it is an 80s pop radio station.
What I said was, you're just poo-pooing on
all I was saying was, thematically, what we are playing is talk radio, what we are playing. And when you listen to talk radio, you know, it's perfectly acceptable to be like...
The home of LGBTQ+ talk.
God, that's just so...
This podcast is a proud member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network.
Oh, I like that.
Great shows at pride48.com.
I like that. You could do that at the end of...
That's a replacement for... Not a replacement for Auntie Scott, just a...
She's not here.
Just a, you know, just...
She's not here.
An occasional replacement, you know. Well, they're probably...
I doubt we will see her all through...
September.
She's probably gonna be gone.
Here's another one.
Yeah. Pride 48.
Turn it up.
You're listening to Pride 48. Feel the beat. Home of LGBTQ+.
For all of our African American podcasts that we have.
Pride 48.
Why is it African American?
Because it's the yo, kick it up.
48.com. Home of LGBTQ talk.
And that it's catchy.
Yeah, okay.
And then here's the last one.
Yeah! Bold voices, big stories.
This is Pride48.com, your home for LGBTQ plus talk.
By the way, it's quieter than you. Like we're hearing the music very quietly, and we're hearing you much louder. But however, well, we did hear
if you normally complain about how loud
we
the
did,
music
we
is.
Did hear it. We did hear it. It's fine. It's fine. It surprised me, Adam, because we just took a road trip where we were listening to my radio station.
Yeah,
and. Well, I would
have
thought
the copyright on bumpers.
No. That's not what I'm saying. I was caught off guard by it because I thought when you made it, you would have said, "Oh, look what I made for Pride 48." And then it was like, you know, telling me is like, "Oh yeah, I took your idea and I made this." And then it would have been like, "Oh, that's cool." But it was just more of a thing of like, "Yeah, I made these bumpers for my radio station." I'm just like, "Oh, you mean like mine?"
So when I presented it to you, yeah. I was supposed to pose it as you inspired me.
Yeah, exactly.
Daniel.
Exactly.
And so sorry, you inspired me, Daniel. And yeah. I thought, while I'm sprucing up Pride 48,
yep.
I'm going to
now,
you know, because
now that I've accepted that.
Yeah.
Then you should at least accept that my counter idea doesn't have to be counter. It can be co. Like the co idea was it would be nice if you had the podcasters themselves, like Big Fatty or whatever, like, "Hey, this is Big Fatty from Big Fatty Online, and you're listening to Pride48. Don't we already have those?
But that's so much work.
Don't we already have those?
No. If we do, I don't know where. I certainly don't. Not that I know of. Not you're listening to Pride 48. We had things advertising events like this is Big Fatty and, you know, come to the 2023, you know, whatever. But I don't think we ever had any generic ones. The only ones we had were the ones that we play at the end of the podcast. You're listening to this. I'm sorry. This show is a member of the Pride 48. Some other podcasters did that. This show is a member of the Pride 48 podcasting network. I think we may have one or two other somewhere in the folders of the WordPress site. We may have those.
Good day, esteemed listeners.
Yeah, that was for an
mark
event.
Mark your diaries for the 15th to the 17th of September, for you shall want to be in attendance at Pride48.com.
Is that the initiation, not the initiation, I can't think of the word, of Septembra. Is that where Septembra started?
Yes.
Well, howdy.
Well, howdy, folks. Dust off them calendars, because September 15th through the 17th, y'all got to be at Pride48.com. We're saddling up for our grand finale. Join us and explore the rich town.
What I was going to say is you said there should be some NPR style without music.
I feel like we did those in an earlier. I would have to go look at my other, like my external drive.
How would you create something without music? Because Suno is a music platform.
No. I'm saying.
So how would I create that?
Oh, it'll do voices too.
It'll just do with no music?
I think so. Howdy invokes a trauma response from Kathy Marshall. Well, I am so sorry, Kathy Marshall.
Because otherwise I'd have to.
Let's talk about something super fun and interesting, Adam. And it's going to be a double thing. Like two for the price of one.
Okay.
I was just waiting for you.
I'm waiting for you.
I'm stalling because
okay,
I'm stalling because there's a bug. There's a bug.
Yes.
There's a bug in QCast. When I try to post this markdown on the Kanban, it says required fields not set or something. But it has to do with the markdown because when I take the markdown out, it saves fine. And it's just anyway. The point is, so I have to go to the other thing. I was stalling so I could bring this up over here because I wanted to talk about this. Have you heard of NVIDIA Pear?
No.
So NVIDIA Pear, which was just released this day.
Just so everyone knows, I do own stock in NVIDIA.
Okay. This is...
But then my opinions are my own.
Then you will enjoy this. NVIDIA released this. It's called Pear, P-A-I-R. It is. It stands for Personal AI Router, right? So Pear.
Okay.
So the NVIDIA Personal AI Router is a free open source beta that puts one local endpoint in front of all of the computers in your home that have either an RTX or an M4 chip on them. So it essentially, like if you want to run local compute, you just send it to the single endpoint and it'll route it to one that's not being used at the moment. So you can create it's like a router for your inference engines.
Are you using other people's unused resources? Like all in
only on your network, only on your home network. It's your other computer. Like in other words,
but only have one computer with NVIDIA graphics cards,
then you would never want to do this. This would be like Zach has an NVIDIA card in his gaming machine in the other room. I have an NVIDIA card in my Linux box over here and my gaming machine here.
So it allows you to pair them.
It would create a cluster of them. Pair, remember, just stands for personal AI router. It doesn't mean two. You can have more than two. It takes all of the, let's say I have Mac Minis. Let's say I have three Mac Mini M4s. All of those become inference that I could, so when I want to run it locally.
Three Mac Minis.
M4s?
No.
This only works from M4 or higher. So,
okay.
But when they went to unified memory, but the point is that, you can do it just change. What I was hoping that they would do is I was hoping that they would combine the RAM. Like in other words, if I have a 12 gigabyte RAM, 5090 or 5070 here and one in the other room that I could then host a 24 gig model. That's what I was hoping. But no, it's just a router for it. But still, it's a really cool idea. Like it doesn't require any additional hardware. It's all just done through software. But it essentially just routes to unused inference in your house as you're doing local. And what it allows you to do is in your local models that you're using can spawn off sub agents, right? They can have multiple instances of themselves because there's multiple machines that can run them. So. Anyway, I thought it was really cool.
It would be, but I can't use it. You know, I've been thinking it's not a card on the thing, but for some reason I want to buy another NAS because my NAS is almost full. And my current NAS will not host Docker containers. And I would really like a NAS that will host Docker containers.
Can I?
Don't ask me why. I just use Docker for everything.
And no, okay, stop. My question at all. My question is, why? Why wouldn't you just get a Linux box? Just buy a PC and give it a shit ton of hard drive space. Slap Linux on it, and you can run whatever you want. It can be storage.
But I mean, I don't need another computer. I've got three Mac Minis here, and
But a NAS is just a computer. A NAS is still a computer.
Well, right, but it's...
You don't have to buy a big tower, like, PC. Like, they make really small PCs right now. Like, it doesn't... If all of it's doing is just storing... You know, if it's just storage and Docker stuff, you don't need, like, a crazy, huge, you know, gaming machine or whatever.
Well, then I have to set up all the RAID and everything that I get from my NAS. Because, like, my current NAS, I get all the RAID and the
You get that on every... almost every modern computer's motherboard supports RAID.
Well, yeah, but I have to set it up is what I'm saying.
You
like, I have to
plug in the hard drives to the different ports, yes. Yes, you would.
But then I have to set up RAID, meaning I have to go in and configure. And
you make it sound like it is not just menu driven at this point.
Well, but I've never done it.
Literally, it's I would like to set this up as RAID 1, RAID 2, RAID 3. You just pick the number and it does it for you.
And I suppose I could have Alice do it for me.
That's what I'm saying. You don't even need Alice to do
it. I could just install Alice on there and say, hey, set up RAID on this. But anyway, well, okay, that's another option, but that is still buying something.
Yeah.
you know, terabyte, you know, 8 terabyte drives are $400 or $500.
Yeah.
You know, and I would need a couple at least, maybe four. And so I'm trying to talk myself out of it because I don't have to have it, but my current setup is running out of space. So I either need to buy a couple of hard drives and just keep the current NAS the way it is, or
can I offer
buy a completely new setup that I start using and just keep the current NAS where
Can I propose an alternate?
You can.
Let's get a check in here on this. Let's see. Hey, I have this question for you. So my friend is thinking about buying a NAS or an inexpensive Linux server with a lot of storage on it so that he can use it on his network to store things because he's running out of space on his archive. And it needs to be redundant. He likes to run in a RAID configuration, et cetera, et cetera. My question is, wouldn't it be cheaper in the long run, even if he was only spending like $500 or $600 on the machine? Wouldn't it be cheaper in the long run to use like S3 Glacial storage? Doesn't that just work out to like pennies as long as you're not accessing it often? So, what do you think?
Let me run those numbers real quick. Probably it depends on what he actually wants. So, if truly archival, like write it once or rarely pull it, then Glacier is dirt cheap. Yeah, but retrieval is slow and costs extra. If he wants live network storage that he hits every day, and NAS is usually better, no retrieval fees, it's fast, and it's yours. Ballpark 10 to 20 terabytes on an NAS spread over 5 years often works out cheaper than Glacier, if you're accessing it regularly. But a hybrid approach is common. Keep the NAS for day-to-day and backup irreplaceable stuff to Glacier. So, quick question. Is it mostly media, or are we talking backups and documents?
It's mostly media and backups of podcast files.
Yeah, mostly media.
Got it. Then a NAS is your friend with an external backup. Maybe Glacier Deep Archive for the truly irreplaceable stuff. That gives you fast edits locally and peace of mind if you need it.
Why a NAS over like a Linux server where you could also like host Docker containers and websites internally and stuff like that? I feel like I don't understand what the benefits of a NAS over just a Linux server are.
Yeah, fair question. A NAS is basically a little Linux server, just wrapped in a friendly UI with a drive management built in. The trade-off's convenience versus flexibility. On a DIY Linux box, you get maximum control and can run anything, but you own all the setup and maintenance. A NAS is more plug and play. Pod swap bays, easy RAID management, user permissions, backups, apps, all that. If your friend enjoys tinkering and wants services beyond storage, sure, build it. If he just wants reliable storage that doesn't become a part-time job, NAS is easier. And honestly, some NAS boxes can run containers.
But if I were to put a bare bones Linux on there, and then I just have a Codex, session running there in a TUI that administers the machine, then it could take care of all that. Then I could just talk to it, right? I could just be like, "Hey, will you like set this up? Set this RAID configuration?" Like, in other words, wouldn't that just be easier that I would just have an AI assistant on the machine, like an AI sysadmin?
Checking. Yeah, I think that's where the puck is headed. AI assisted setup and maintenance on a DIY server could smooth out a lot of the rough edges. Like you described, the goal and the agent does the commands, checks results, and explains what happened. But reliability-wise, we're not quite at the set it and forget it stage yet, especially for data integrity and recovery situations. NAS vendors are also adding container support and automation, but in a more curated way. My take, if you're comfortable tinkering, start with a Linux box.
Yeah.
Use Codex as your copilot.
I feel like Linux is the way to go.
But for critical data, I'd still have guardrails. tested backups, snapshots.
Yeah, but all it is audio that you're storing. It's just like, it's well, not high risk. It's like, right. In other words, it's not like backing up databases that have like, you know, time sensitive. It's like literally we're just backing up audio.
I mean, anything. I mean, I do have my tax documents and stuff like that.
Oh, well, that's different. I mean, those I would have in a cloud. You know, like I use Google Drive for all of those backups because Google Drive has a robust backup strategy themselves. So it's like I don't need to – I offload that to them.
That's on my NAS currently. Okay. Everything's on my NAS.
I let Google Drive handle all those things. So in other words, I basically just pay the $100 a year for my Google Drive and let them worry about my backups. Like, so that's my solution. The lazy way out is just I just let Google handle it. However, comma, I do have an external USB drive that has a bunch of old Pride 48 audio and stuff on it.
Well, the reason it came up is because I was thinking, well, I should buy myself a birthday present.
You should.
Because I've actually been pretty good with my money recently. I haven't been spending a lot.
Yeah.
And
You know you're an adult, right? You know you don't have to justify this. You could just do it. Like, well, you don't
but,
have
but it
to,
was
like,
just a justify. Gift for the sake of getting a gift.
Yeah.
It's not like I want. So then I was thinking,
that's called the perk of being an adult. It's like, I'm eating a candy bar at 3 a.m. because why not? I can.
So that's why I'm thinking about storage, which seems like such a boring gift to give yourself, but I don't know what else.
You know what? It's a different kind of storage, but I did buy myself those wire racks that you saw that I put in my closet there and put in all those little buckets that I put everything in. And I got a label printer so I could print little labels on stuff and whatnot. So.
Oh, cool.
Oh, I bought a laser printer today. That was the other thing I bought for my office. So, so far, nice. I think my
is it
thousand
color laser?
No, because the color laser tends to be very waxy. So it's not an inkjet is always going to print better photos. Like, so it's not something you would use to print photos. And it's like, so what would I ever want to print that was color? And it was like a $300 difference. It's like I bought a highly rated black and white laser printer for like $160. The color equivalent of that would have been like $400. So I
want to have a color printer if I'm going to have a printer because I there are some things that I want to print in color.
Like what?
But I don't know. There may be a document that I want to print in color because I want it in color. Or
Lamont Cranston, I believe the Brother MCL2750DW is exactly the one that I bought.
Cruise luggage tags. They prefer them to be printed in color so that they're easier for the staff
to
see.
You use enamel. You use your big print.
No, I don't use that.
Your resin printer for that.
For the luggage tag. No, I have a luggage tag, but no, they have a cruise specific luggage tag. I can't do that on the UE printer. it's too big.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Lamont Cranston. I got the HL-L24640DW. So the HL-L24640DW. Wireless compact monochrome laser printer with duplex mobile printing black and white output, blah, 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 blah.
That's not a bad idea.
Of course it isn't because
I would have to come up with something to – I have to print on something. You can't just print on negative space.
You can print on paper?
I don't know if I can print on paper. I could print on cardboard, but then it wouldn't be much of a luggage tag.
You can print on cardstock.
Maybe fabric. I don't know.
If you're trying to create I would do leather. I would get a leather luggage tag and print on it.
Yeah.
You can print on leather, right?
But yeah. They're just kind of big. Anyway.
You can't buy it in different sizes?
But my printer is yeah, you can. I'm sure I could find something, but my printer is broken at the moment, so I can't do anything.
Cannot.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, like I said, I'm going to investigate it and see what steps I can take, but
Adam's on the case. Adam, I'm going to give you a choice here because I don't think we're going to do both. I think we're just going to do one of these two topics, and then we'll save it for the next. Number one, here's your choices. Number one, I started playing around with ChatGPT Finance this week, where you hook up all of your financial accounts to ChatGPT and let it.
I'm scared to do that. I'm scared it's going to tell me.
I know. See,
you're going to burn in hell.
I'm just testing. I'm testing it for you, Adam. I'm going on a test. So I've hooked up, except my Synchrony cards and my American Express card. They were having a problem with the connector the other day. I haven't retried. So when I was connecting everything, I couldn't connect my American Express or my Synchrony card. So that would be like my Lowe's card and my mattress giant card or whatever, the City Furniture card. You know, those all those store cards that kind of go through Synchrony Bank. I couldn't connect those up. Although I believe all of those currently are paid off except for like the Lowe's card. Because we just bought a washer and dryer. But anyway, the point is, that is one choice. One choice is to talk about ChatGPT Finance and what I have discovered in ChatGPT Finance after just a few days. However, it could stay there, and I'll know more things after, you know, I use it for a little while longer. And
I'd like to hear about ChatGPT Finance, because you know what?
You don't even know what the other choice is.
Oh, what's the other choice?
The other choice is... there was another podcast I was listening to where I found out that this guest on this other podcast loves you, but they hate listen to me. Like, they listen to the Gay Mix, but they hate listen. They hate me. So they kind of hate listen to me so that they can hear you. I had some thoughts. So those are the two.
Wait, do I know about this?
Probably not. You don't listen to other podcasts.
Well, I listen to some.
So those are the, both of them, whichever one we don't do tonight, we will do on next week's show. So it's up to you. Whichever you want to talk about, we'll talk about. I'm just a dealer's choice for you, Adam.
It's a hard choice. Someone it's who really choice, likes guys. Me.
They love you. They love you.
Love me.
Love you.
I would be interested to know who loves me. Mm-hmm. But
I'm not going
to
name names. I'm not going to say names.
I think I'm going to go with the finance.
ChatGPT
I'm interested
finance.
Because here's the thing.
Yep.
I think I'm going to have to cancel my credit card.
Okay.
And it's my main card, and every time I have to
do
this...
Why do you have to cancel? Why don't you just have them send you a new card?
Sorry, not cancel it. That's not what I meant. Yeah. You have to get a new number.
Right, yeah. Send me a new card.
Which means every subscription that I have to go and I have to change it. And I forget. When I quit my job, I went through and pruned...
Can I suggest
thousands of subscriptions? Just
can I
a lot
suggest?
But I still have some that I forget about.
Who is the vendor?
The vendor?
What card? What brand? Is a Citi card? Is this
Citi?
So yeah. Citi. So a lot of credit cards through Google Wallet will let you set up virtual cards, and then it doesn't matter if you change the number. So in other words, you use that virtual card number everywhere, and then if you change the underlying credit card behind it, it doesn't matter. Like, so
well, it's interesting because I have Google set up to do a virtual card.
So you should be able to switch out the card that links to that virtual card. So in other words, if you've used that virtual card number as your subscription card number, then you can, that's the whole point of it, is that you can then switch it out in the back end.
Maybe. I hope all of my Google stuff is that way, but I'm not 100% sure it is. But anyway, so I was thinking maybe part of this financial shit, I could just say, hey, can you look at Citi and tell me all the subscriptions I have?
I'm going to tell you, Adam.
I would assume it would be able to do that.
I'm going to tell you.
Make a table.
You don't even need to do that. All you have to do is connect your account. So it runs in a different area, right? So it's like you go into ChatGPT, but then there's a, you know, there's an app for it over on the left-hand panel called Finances, right? So it's not in your normal chat area. You still are able to chat with it and everything, but it is segregated from the regular ChatGPT.
Can you voice chat with it?
Absolutely. So the thing that you can do with it, though, just once you connect your accounts, you can go through, you can connect as many accounts as you want, and then it goes, but it starts processing through them, and then it'll be the next day probably before you get... But there's a dashboard. So when you go into that finance area, there's already a dashboard. And on that dashboard, it has your category spend, your net worth, your upcoming charges, and then it has your subscriptions. And then underneath that, it has your bills.
So I could get rid of Rocket Money.
Yes. And then under that, there's a category review, and then there's recent transactions, and then there's all kinds of graphs and bills. And anyway, the point is that, yeah, it groups together all your subscriptions immediately. Like, you know, no matter what, like I pay for subscriptions on different credit cards, it just pulls them all together. Like, here's my ChatGPT subscription, which is $100 a month. There's my Walt Disney World annual pass. There's Zach's Walt Disney annual pass. There's the YouTube premium that we pay for. We pay for the family YouTube premium account. And then OnStar, which is a for my hotspot in my car. HBO Max. Twit. $7 to Twit. $4 to the New York Times. And $4 to Craig. So those are my subscriptions. Those are all my subscriptions.
A lot more than that.
Those are monthly. And then annual, it also picked up my annual subscriptions, right? So it picked up the fact that I have a WordPress annual for my blog, and then an annual domain renewal stuff. So it pulls all that stuff together in little nice little areas. But yeah, you absolutely can just ask questions. Like the suggestion questions they give you is like, what subscriptions and recurring charges am I currently paying for?
Will it tell you what to invest in? Can you be like, is Nvidia a good buy right now?
Yeah. What financial tips should I consider based on my information? What's the best rewards card that I should be
using? Diversify my portfolio?
Yeah, absolutely. You could ask it any of those questions. The point is that it's very nice. I like it.
Am I dangerously over leveraged? I don't even know what that means, but it sounds good.
So yeah, no, I'm, you know, so far, so it did have one problem earlier tonight because the WordPress, the domain was registered like a month after I did the hosting. So the two renewals are a month apart. And so it mistook it and thought that WordPress was a monthly fee. And so it was projecting it out as if it were monthly. And so I had to correct that. I had to be like, hey, those were two separate annuals. And it was like, oh, okay, I'll make that change. And so, incorporated that into it. But unlike Rocket Money, I haven't had to like have it refresh, you know, like every time I'd log into Rocket Money, I had to like go and have it refresh with all the credit card companies and stuff like that. Like I haven't had any of that. It's been, you know, connected to everything fine. I like it. I am, you know, in the same, like, obviously I don't need to worry about equity stuff for a year because I'm not vested in any of it until a year from now. But there's that stuff that I have to figure out, and when the inheritance came through from my parents, I bought my brother's portion of the office out because my other brother wanted to keep the office, and so he and I now own the office together. So yeah. I have property, you know, so commercial property that I own that I have to do something with. And then, my 401k and a couple of IRAs. And now I have multiple 401ks because, this new company is with a completely different, like when I was previously, Yale and Greenway were both on Fidelity. So they were able to just roll them, you know, into one.
Yeah.
But now I'm in this new company is with T. Rowe Price. So I'm not even with the same company. So.
Fun.
Fun, fun, Adam. Fun, fun, fun. you know, it's Friday night fun. That's
until your daddy takes the T-bird away.
Until my daddy takes it to. So, yeah.
Is that the words for that?
It is fun, fun, fun. Until her daddy takes the T-bird away. Yeah, I'm going to work feverishly on my little festival food app, so I can roll that out this weekend because we're going to Epcot Monday. To see Yellow Card, I think.
Well, work on it. Festival.
We're also doing brunch with Rodan and Darwin before we do that.
That would be useful to other people.
I know. That's what I was thinking. Is that would be a really cool.
If you can release it in the App Store.
Yeah.
You might get some actual people using it.
Yeah. Or just make it a web app, like a progressive web app. It's like, here's the thing. Do you understand what a horrible experience it is to write an iPhone app? Like it
yeah, but if it's being done for you by.
No, you can't, but you have to have a Mac. I would literally have to go and buy a Mac.
You do have to have a Mac.
That's stupid. What a stupid thing.
But you can just write an app for Android.
I could, or I could just write a progressive web app and it'll run on everything.
Yeah. But where do people get it? How do they find it?
How do they find it?
Is it because a PWA, a progressive web app, is that listed in the app stores?
No. You just go to
the
URL.
So how do they find it? That's what I'm saying.
It's on the web. It's just, it's an application on the web that they can.
No, I know, but
it's a niche enough market that there are already forums and places that you could talk about. You know what I'm saying? There are already fan sites and stuff like people that would benefit from this, that go to the festivals and want to try different things and everything, locals or whatever, already have message boards and stuff that.
Because if it were me,
like
I would just go to the Android store and I'd be like,
yeah.
Festival food, Disney festival, Disney food. You know, I would search for that kind of stuff if I was looking for an app.
Yeah.
And that's where I would go. But anyway. Okay. There you go. We'll have fun doing that.
yeah, I will.
Okay.
Because, you know, we have four festivals a year. The nice thing is it reads all the restaurants and the menus from their API. So it's like I'm getting all the restaurant and menu data directly from Disney. So it's super easy to swap it out with the next festival because it's.
Do they provide all that for free?
Yeah, actually their APIs will it's the same APIs that power their websites.
Okay.
So, you know, when you go to their website and search for a restaurant,
are they providing an API or are you reverse engineering an API?
Someone else has reverse engineered the API. And
so you're using a library or something that someone else has already.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically. So.
Cool.
All right. And on that note, I'm going to go. Have a very good evening, chat room. Thank you for joining us this evening. I guess that means that we'll talk about hate listening on next week's show.
I guess so.
Okay. Good night, Lamont Cranston. Good night, Kathy Marshall.
Good night, chat room.
J-Man.
Good night, John Boy.
Thank you for joining us this evening.
Good night, Mary Ellen.
Yeah, and we'll be back next Friday night. So good night.